Afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and this is another episode of the News in Review, a chance to reflect on current affairs at home and abroad. Joining me this week on the weighty task is author, activist, and teacher Sam Moffey. Sam, welcome.
Simon, thanks for the rousing introduction. It's great to be here. The good news is that we're going to solve all the world problems. The bad news is the end of the weekend's winding down because it's Sunday afternoon.
Indeed. And up until 30 seconds ago, here he is. Also joining us this week from the City of Angels, psychologist and excellent guest, Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, how are you today?
Well, Simon, you need to know that I'm also an author, and you need to know I also give workshops around the country, around the world, actually. So I want you to expand my intro just because I get insecure sometimes.
Oh, okay. Let me take it from the top. And from the City of Angels, we have author, psychologist, teacher, and just about everything else, Dr. Gary Penn. Gary, welcome.
Hello, man. Hello, hello. Good to be on board this week.
Okay, so on with the program. I got up this morning, ready for my Sunday morning ritual. State of the Union at 8, GPS at 9, and reliable sources at 10. Nope, it was not to be. Most of State of the Union was preempted by Ebola. Overnight, a Dallas healthcare worker tested positive. Now, let's talk about this Ebola thing for a couple of minutes. Number one, what should we do? You know, us mere mortals, should we dress up in spacesuits or what? Gary, I'll toss this one in your way first.
It is frightening, but, you know, at the same time, one person has died here. And I think, like we've been talking about with terrorism and everything like that, the overreaction of our country is insane. And, you know, in other parts of the world where people are dying all the time of disease and through war and things like this, you know, we want to put Purell on shopping carts, and we want to, you know, antibacterial our whole world. It is scary, but again, we have to keep things in perspective. At the same time, I'm a little concerned now because, regardless of how many precautions that are happening, these people are still contracting it, meaning that one of the people that was caring for this guy in the hospital, he got it. And I'm sure he was wearing a lot of stuff doing way. I'm thinking this may be a total rage. I don't know if global warming is part of this as far as affecting the ecosystem, affecting how things from microscopic organisms up to us, how it affects us. But it's a little bit scary.
How about you, Sam? I'm sure you woke up this morning and saw the same, evil news.
I watched a little about it, but what shocked me is that, again, Gary alluded to it, that, you know, here they have, and they showed pictures of these guys in these spacesuits, you know, and we've all seen that, and this person who caught it allegedly was wearing one of those outfits. And they said it was now you can catch the disease by breach of protocol. That was the typical political double mumbo jumbo speak that comes out of these, because obviously they don't want to induce a panic. But in the same token, I think people need to know the truth. And, you know, that's what used to set us aside from everybody else, that we transparent and told the truth. But instead of keep, and then they keep telling the big lie, and pretty soon, and then it really gets bad. But to catch Ebola by breach of protocol seems like a real stretch for the imagination. The Centers of Disease Control has been saying, look, you know, here are our rules, and the World Health Organization said the Center of Disease Control better get into the 21st century because you can catch it by touching another object that the person's had it. I mean, here you have a person who's had the who caught it, the second person, who was covered from head to toe in protective gear, and they still caught it. So that scares me. Yeah, that scares me. And I think the bullshit line is, oh, there was protocol. Oh, what did you do? Take her gloves off? Why would you do that? As I talked about, we talked about a couple of weeks ago when we were talking about this, you couldn't have paid me a lot of money. You couldn't have paid me anything to walk into that apartment and quote-unquote desanitize it. I don't know how they found people to do that. If I was a soldier who said you had to go over there and help out, I wouldn't go. I'd desert. I'd go AWOL.
I'd get a bad dose of, diarrhea, a fever, and anything to avoid going.
I mean, have you seen the pictures of the, and I'm sure you guys have, I mean, Not that, but the American media show, and if you go on the internet, which we can all do, go to BBC especially, the pictures of where this disease has come in has now brought in the whole factor of, and Gary, you may be right, environmental problems are causing it worldwide, but the squalor, the poverty, the lack of healthcare facilities and all that sort of stuff, you know, is really what's leading to this. I mean, let's be honest. I mean, those areas, you see people huddled behind mud huts, and they're wondering why it's spreading. And, don't worry. Hey, if you have it and you wake up with a fever and you recover and you want to have sex, wait 3 months and wear a condom. It's ludicrous. It's insanity that, this disease is spreading, and it's going to continue to spread because that's what these type of diseases do. I mean, and we should not be surprised. Let's do some history lessons. The Black Plague, AIDS, smallpox, the mumps, the measles, polio. You could go on throughout history, wherever there's been a lot of germs and men and women not taking care of themselves and society, poo-pooing what it could be. Disaster struck. I don't know what this is. This going to be an epidemic that turns into a bubonic plague type thing? You know, history tells us that yes, that does happen. You know, nature has a way of righting the ships of balance. Maybe this is Mother Nature's way of getting back with us, or Mother Earth's way of getting back at us for messing up the earth and not taking it seriously. I don't know. But
What I really like is the CDC and FAA response that there's going to be increased airport screenings. Apparently, anyone coming from Ebola countries are going to have their temperature taken. Oh, my. Yeah, that sounds really effective. Yeah. Plus, these people will be asked to fill out a form basically stating that they haven't been playing with, Ebola people. To me, it's absolutely pointless. The statistics seem to be claiming that there's on average 150 people per day. We're putting a huge burden on these 150 people We're a country of 350 million. Gary, do you think this is overkill, underkill, or what sort, or roadkill?
I don't, you know, I honestly don't know. I think that I'm a little puzzled. I don't know what to do. You know, the reaction of the part of everyone that says, let's stop having people come into the States from this parts of the from these parts of the world. There's a part of me that sits there and says, okay, that kind of makes sense until they get it under control. Or if they're coming and put them into some kind of quarantine for a week until they get tested, that's just part of the process of getting in here. I thought what gave me a little pause recently is the fact that the healthcare worker in Texas got it. And that's kind of weird because, you know, when you're talking about what happens, you know, in all the other countries, it's about, well, when people are dying, they hug them. That's what they do. That's part of their culture. That's why it's transmitted. But what you're seeing now is that wasn't happening in Texas. It wasn't happening. They were trained exactly not to do that. And so that's what happens now. You see, you're saying maybe the transmission is not what we've been told. It doesn't sound like it's airborne, but it seems like it's a little easier to contract than we were previously told. So I don't know. I'm assuming that the CDC people are there who are really, really smart, and that's what they do for a living. I have to defer to them and hope that these people are on their game and know what they're doing.
Sam, do you think we should just stop flights or connecting flights from these countries? And if we did that, would it include Spain?
I think, look, as soon as they come here, we quarantine them. You know, so why not quarantine the country that's experienced? I wouldn't even have to let people fly into these countries. I mean, I know it sounds bad, but if this disease is as bad as it looks like it's going to be, and we're supposed to have learned all our lessons. I mean, we couldn't quarantine smallpox in the day back then because no one really knew about it. They tried to when the person had it. I don't know why we're not quarantining these countries in Africa, flying in supplies, of course, by all means, helping out what we have to do, and letting these people take care of it. But, you know, it's obvious when you look, it's like 4,000 people have died. 10% of those people are actual aid, health, medical people administering or trying to, you know, help those that are hurt or sick. The nurse that got it in Dallas was in protective gear, and now she has it, okay? But she had protective gear. She was quarantined, and it still got out. I'm not a medical professional. I'm not a scientist by any stretch of imagination, but obviously something happened. The disease might be stronger than they think. He was whatnot. But now let's look at how many people she has come into contact with. But this starts to become the domino effect, right?
Absolutely.
I mean,
wasn't there a flu pandemic?
1917, yeah. During World War
right.
Right before World War I.
Yeah.
The flu killed millions of people, you know, and so, I mean, it can happen. I think to say it can't happen here, obviously, is flies in the face of reality and things of that nature. And I think to take people's temperatures and say, hey, fill out this form and tell me what your itinerary is, just smacks of bureaucracy-ism that we live in. You know, that's going to solve. I mean, let's create another layer of bureaucracy. Let's do, you know, instead of attacking the real problem, which is probably not flying, let people look, if there's war going on in the country, we don't fly in there, do we? Hell, we can't fly into Cuba, but you can fly into Mauritania? Think about that. I can't fly to Cuba to get a Cuban cigar, but I can fly into Liberia and pick up Ebola and bring it back, and it might take my temperature. I mean, how ludicrous is that?
Absolutely.
I mean, that's what it is. I mean, that's what it's crazy. Yes, we should be helping with aid. I think we should be dropping it, Berlin airlift type thing, letting people down there take care of it, and hopefully they'll be able to do it. Because what if, you know, I think you have to look at these things in the most extreme categories. What if they can't stop this there? What do you do? What if all of a sudden next month it's 16,000 dead? And it gets into the bigger series in Nigeria. I forget the capital. What's the capital of Nigeria? I don't know offhand.
Anywhere I'd want to vacation.
Well, right now, like it's been in the disease has been kind of isolated into small, poverty-stricken, little villages out in this area of Western Africa. But pretty soon, it's going to make its way into the big city. I mean, that's just the way things work out. And when that happens, what do you do? And what happens? I mean, do you just continue to say, "Oh, we can take care of it. Trust us. Trust me." You know, I mean, I like the used car salesman, or do we say, "Hey, we have to start taking serious action here"? And I think that has to happen. I think you have to have no fly zones, and try to get AIDS, and obviously get some, you know, start getting some money into, you know, and I'm sure they are big farmers probably trying to identify. You know, a cure for this, just like, you know, AIDS. You know, it took a lot of people to die before AIDS was really looked at as a serious, serious problem. Remember, it was just, it just happens to gay people. It just happens to gay people. Don't worry about it. Just, you know, they're promiscuous, or the far crazy white people would say it's God punishing them. And it took forever to get an international policy together to start fighting it and educating people and doing something about it. And meanwhile, all those people died because they're going to be just kind of, let's keep it behind us. You know, it only affects gay people. Now we're only saying, well, it only affects Western African people. So let's just, you know, it can happen here. And it's already happened here. It's happened in Spain, and it's going to start happening all over the world pretty soon.
Gary, I'm not sure what you're doing.
No, I'm not cooking. Sorry. So anyway, I will say this, though, since I forget about the noise. I will say this, that it's if this is one of the cases where, you know, I kind of agree with what Sam's saying in. You know, when our country is so focused on the capitalistic position of, you know, huge tax breaks for companies, and let's get, I know this is a tangential point, but I'll get around to the other one, is that there's, you know, a huge tax breaks for companies and all these things, and have the stock, you know, market go up, and we don't put a lot of money into R&D, into a lot of things. I'd be curious as far as the CDC goes, of what the budget is, how much money we're pouring into it. It seems like so often we're playing catch up, and we're not being prophylactic here. And you know, when you have these companies that are just making so much money, and the CEOs and all the executives are making so much money. And the income that you can get from small tax increases for these kinds of situations, corporate tax things, or for the upper 1%, could make a huge difference, just a gigantic difference as far as what goes on that way. And it's a shame because, you know, you see it on this level where we're playing catch up, and it's one of those things where. It's just no way, if our country is a business, it's just no way to run a business. Because, you know, you used to think that the corporations would do the right thing, but really what corporations are doing are making billions and billions of dollars for their big investors. That's what's happening.
Okay. Now, we have spoken many, many times on the subject of foreign aid. Should we just batten down the hatches and say, it'll go away on its own? Or should we be proactive and help West Africa?
I'll go for it.
We have to be in foreign aid. I mean, we have to be in foreign aid in a big way. If we don't do it, what you're going to see what's happening in Africa is China's just going to take over. And you know, listen, it's not great. Where we should stop doing foreign aid is with the military. We should stop giving weapons as part of a foreign aid to Egypt and weapons as far as foreign aid to Saudi Arabia and Qatar. That, to me, is insane, and I've always felt that. But you have to be involved in these countries because it's all about trade and it's all about socioeconomics, all about goodwill and things like that. But where the money is not here is we're doing just fine, Simon. I mean, the CEOs and the Fortune 500 companies, what did Obama, under Obama's administration, where did it go? It went from what 8,000 to 17,000, the S&P 500 or the Dow. I mean, it's crazy. And what's happened is people have become multi-billionaires over and over again, and we don't have enough money. And when you say about foreign aid, see, that's what the right wants you to think. That's where they go. Since increasing taxes to Clinton-era tax policies is so bizarre to people, what you do is you start picking at the bottom. And it's just very sad.
Yeah. I've sat and thought about this whole situation. And luckily, no one from West Africa wants to come to Pickian, Mississippi. But yeah, it is bothersome, and I'm not sure, what the way forward is. Anyway, enough of talking about depressing subjects like Ebola, let's talk about something even more depressing. Oh, that would be the midterm elections. I think they're coming up in about 3 weeks. And quite honestly, I do not see any winners or losers. Most people in the street could care less. It's just another 2 years of gridlock. And Sam, I'd like your thoughts on that.
Well, I think there's going to be a change, but I agree with you, there will be no change. Because it doesn't matter who's in control, which party's in control. It's really the power. It's really on one political party. It's the power in the parties in power. I consider them. They talk the good game. I think some of them. I know some of them from that really want to do something. I think as we've talked about, they get corrupted by the money, corrupted by the law of, hey, when I'm out of this, I can now go get hired by Monsanto and be a lobbyist. I can be hired by the Israelis, the government of Israel to be a to lobby for them. I can get hired by the government of this, or I can be hired by Lockheed Jones. I used to sit on the Defense Appropriations Committee and really lobby my buddies, my ex comrades, for more contracts. So to me, there's no difference until the revolution takes place. The only thing that will happen is if I think that the power of the incumbency in the House will allow the Republicans to maintain control of the House of Representatives, and the dude with the tan from Southern Cincinnati will be the and the weather's not that great year round, so he must use a tanning bed. Will probably be the Speaker of the House, and I think they're going to flip the Senate because of the states are kind of purplish, and for just because it's people aren't doing that well. The economy for the super rich it has. And over and over and over again, I think people realize that. I think there's a tendency by to vote for the other guys, other girls, because they think they might do better. It's kind of a backlash thing. It's crazy. It's really not about the issues. And I think the Senate will be flipped. We'll have more and more gridlock for 2 more years. For 2015 will be gridlock city. And 2016 will be a presidential election where no one will give a shit about anything except who's going to be the next candidate. And there'll be all sorts of people running for office for that. So that's my take on it.
How about you, Gary? Are you with me that it doesn't matter who wins in the midterms, nothing is going to change?
I don't think things are going to change. I mean, the only thing that would be a problematic is if the Republican takes the Senate and there's a new Supreme Court nominee up for grabs. That would be problematic if the Republicans hold the Senate. I think that the most interesting, and we talked about this last time I was on, but the most interesting thing in politics right now is Kansas, and if I was in politics, I would just hang out in Kansas, because you know Kansas is just so fascinating. Where I talked about this last time, is you have a completely Republican state that is going in the crapper, and it's just so fascinating whether a Robert is going to be reelected as senator. Whether Brownback is going to be reelected as governor. I think the one thing that may be very helpful for 2016 is if governors go more towards the Democrats, because the Republicans are just, you know, they're going to go down. I'm sure they don't care, but they're going to be on the ash heap of history of what they're doing with the voter suppression. Of course, no one's going to call it that, but it's horrendous what they're doing. And it's so clear, you know, it's so clear, even though they say, oh, this isn't what we're doing, that it's exactly what they're doing, because they know who it affects. And if you get more Democratic governors in there, it's going to prevent these Republicans from doing this incredible voter suppression thing, which may help Hillary get the White House in 2016. But as far as the Senate goes, but on the other hand, Simon, I have no idea why anyone would vote Republican who doesn't make mid six figures, high six figures. It is so weird to me why people in Mississippi and Arkansas, Alabama, you know, I get the religious part of it, but look what's happened in Obama. I mean, look what's happened. All these people have health care. Unemployment under 6%. Their retirement has gone way up. We don't have boots on the ground in the Middle East. I mean, people are skewering this guy, and the Democrats are running away from him as fast as possible. It drives me nuts. I have to assume these people are smarter than I am, but why in God's name won't they sit there and talk about Obama like he's great? Now they're talking about does he have a failed presidency? I don't get it. Everyone's doing better. We're out of Iraq. We're out of this. Okay, there's Muslims killing Muslims in the Middle East. What does that mean? Who is that hurting? And people are getting, well, we want to put a $300,000 of our boys and girls over in the Middle East and spend $1 million a soldier. To me, it's just insane.
Right. Oh, Gary, I am in agreement with you. Sam, I'm sure you have a rebuttal. Or is this a love fest we're having this week?
No, I just, like I said, I do think, I just think, I just go with trends. And I hate to, you know, it'd be nice to be able to sit there and say, well, this is what the Republicans stand for, and this is why, and this is what the Democrats stand for, and this is that. You can't anymore. It's about who spends the most amount of money, who's got the right message, who's going to motivate their base, who's going to suppress the other guy's base, you know, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I said this last week, Gary, if you remember, I said, I don't understand why the president is not being asked by these Democrats in these so-called swing states to come out and campaign for him just about what you just said. They don't want him. I'm just going to say, well, wait a minute. Why don't you want – he's a president. He's an incumbent. He's never lost an election. We don't have boots. You know, you could just give a – you just gave a little laundry list of all his accomplishments. They don't want to be seen around him. And I'm like, we're not talking about Kansas State. We're not talking about Mississippi. We're not talking about Texas. Sorry about that, Simon. We're not talking about Louisiana. Georgia, those other Alabama. You know, those states. We're talking about New Hampshire. She doesn't want to be seen with them. The North Carolina, which is a purplish state, doesn't want to be seen with them. You go on and on and on. The six states, South Dakota, I mean, which is a purplish state. They all don't want to be seen. They don't want the president in their campaigning. And I just find that mind-boggling to me. But that's the fact, you know. I mean, obviously they're told to stay away. He stays away, you know, and focuses on other things. And, you know, maybe it is a good thing the president's in campaigning. I don't like him campaigning unless he's running for re-election. I like him doing what he's doing, keeping boots off the ground, trying to build a coalition to, at his best of his ability, which isn't doing too well. Not his fault. I think it's just nature of the beast right now. And, you know, and he's trying to do some things like that, but they don't want him, and I think they're going to pay the price. And to be honest, you know, I think it comes in we've talked about this for years, Gary, before you joined the show. Modern second-term presidencies just seem to suck, whether it's corruption or malaise, as Jimmy Carter would say, or whatnot. They just seem to suck. It's like the minute Obama got elected to his second term, he was a lame duck. And they just never, and the president, they just don't, they don't get it. I don't know if it's because they think they're smarter than everybody and this and that, but, you know, you got 4 years. You don't have to run for re-election. You're set for life. Go for it. And yes, the Republicans are obstructionist and this and that, but he also controls the Senate. And it's just like, it's almost like they don't want to get things done, or they take on little things that they can do, and they don't take on the big issues that benefit all of the country. And I think that's where they make big mistakes. I think if Obama would have came in there and really spanked Wall Street and put some people behind bars and didn't help pile on too big to fail and really punished Wall Street and these banks, didn't help with the bailouts and did the right thing, this country would be in a lot better shape. And some people would have learned some lessons. Greed wouldn't have been rewarded. Negligence wouldn't have been rewarded. To me, the height of all the negligence of this country, both the Bush administration, the Obama administration, and both houses of Congress were fining all these banks billions and billions of dollars. They were bad boys and girls. They screwed over millions of people and liar loans and this and that and whatnot. And what happened? Hocus pocus. They all paid a huge fine. It went to the federal government. The federal government then doled it out to the 50 states, and not one person who got screwed by one of these evil banks got any money. Not one person. All the money went to the government. That, to me, is the most hideous thing that's – but it sums up what this government's all about, whether Republicans or Democrats running the show. It's about money for them.
You know, I hated the whole bailout process for all of the reasons that you just stated. In my mind, there is no such thing as a company too big to fail. If it fails, who loses? In reality, it's the investors. The poor guy in the street, he's going to lumber on and do whatever it takes to rebuild his life. Gary, should the government have bailed these corporations and banks out? Huh. Complete silence.
Is he there?
Yeah. Okay, it's the ever-counting Gary.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I have some phone issues. But I think that we needed to. But you know what? It's hard to prove the point. It's so easy to say, oh, look at all this money and so forth, and look at all these people. And, of course, Sam's point is irrefutable, absolutely irrefutable. So you can't argue it. It's the unknown unknown, meaning that if it didn't happen, if it just didn't happen, would there have been a depression? Would it have been so much more costly that this would have been insane? Of all the money that we gave out, we got most of it back, if not all of it back. In fact, more of it back. So I think it's a red herring to say. I don't know. I know that Ben Bernanke was schooled in the Depression, and this is what he understood. And again, I have to think that you have a bunch of guys in a room, and they see the tidal wave coming, and they see the destruction of the U.S. economy. And I think these guys, again, I have to, as smart as I think I am, I'm smart enough to know there's a lot of stuff I don't know. And I have to assume now, on the other hand, Simon, I think a lot of people should have gone to jail. I think a lot of people should have lost their jobs. I think a lot of people, in connection with what Sam is saying, these people don't go to prison, they don't lose their jobs. And now the setup is no one's going to prison, and a lot of the same practices. You know, this is why I think it should be Hillary and Elizabeth Warren as the ticket for 2016. It should be Hillary and Elizabeth Warren. They should be, two women should be there, and we should clean up this mess because it's going to be the fall of our country.
Actually, my preferred ticket would be Hillary and Monica.
What a nerd.
My personal view is that they should have been allowed to fail. Who cares? And sure, we'd have been, in deep doo-doo from an economic standpoint, but for how long? I'll just bet that by now we'd be rebounding. What do you think, Sam?
Well, first of all, Gary, the money has been repaid with printing more money. It's called quantitative easing. We only repaid, they did not make profits and pay the money back. We just kept pumping. Bernanke kept priming the pump, and that's why the stock market's gone up from 8,000 points to 17,000 points, and the rich have gotten richer, the hedge fund people and all that, and that's it. It was not, General Motors did not make real profits. They made phony profits, and we were able to pay back, and look what happened to them. Because they had the government running them, they were making faulty stuff to cut look at the ignition switch problem. Look at all the cars being recalled. I mean, they're worst. If that would have happened to them before the government owned them, General Motors would have went under. But because the government owns them, they kind of look the other way. And again, no one's going to jail. They point the finger at somebody. Oh, it's this, it's that. I mean, they got more excuses than Carter has Liverpool, and they get away with it. And the Congress brings them down there. They scold them. They're, you bad boys, you bad girls. And they all meet, and they all go back to the corporate headquarters, and they go, yeah, we've got to give them a fall guy. We're going to throw someone under the bus. So they fire the CFO, give him a golden parachute, and he goes on to do, or she goes on to something else. And they hit the reset button. And because there are no consequences. It's like anything else in the world. If you don't have consequences to your bad behavior, what's going to stop you from doing it again? They gave us Bernie Madoff. They gave us Bernie Madoff. They gave us some other ones, but they didn't give us the ones who really should have won. I mean, we all agreed on that. We all agreed on that. And I really thought Obama had a mandate, I still do, in 08, that FDR got in 32, which was to fix effing Wall Street, you know, and fix them good and bring back the things that Clinton and, well, Reagan first, followed by Bush Sr. and Clinton did, which was to deregulate government and banks and all that stuff. But it didn't happen. And Bush, too. I mean, Obama, and he comes from that school, and I really thought he was going to do all that stuff. And if you want to read a great book on it, it's called Bailout, How Washington Screwed Main Street at the, for Wall Street, by Neil Barofsky, who was a Democratic Inspector General, hired by George Bush to kind of oversee the end of his term, and was fired by the Obama, and fired by Timmy Geithner. Because he wanted to do too much. He was pointing out all the craziness of it and the insanity. And he wanted to put a lot of people behind bars, and he wasn't allowed to. And that's just the way it goes, and it doesn't change. And it's getting worse now. And, you look at what Walmart's doing this month. The Walton families are all worth billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars. The average Walmart employee makes $8.95 an hour. And what are they doing? Cutting health care benefits for anybody who made 30 hours or less off and blaming it on Obamacare. So they can squeeze more money. So instead of being worth $27 billion, they were afraid they might only be worth $26.5 billion, and this will make them worth $30 billion. And yet, people still shop there. We talk about the ultimate enablers is the American consumers. We enable these corporations. We enable these banks. And by the way, nothing's happened to these banks after the Liar loans, Maya and all that sort of stuff, and the credit derivatives and all that. Maybe disappeared for a couple of years. We get calls all the time now. Hey, refinance your house. Pull some more money out. The new thing that's going on, the next bubble that's going to burst, I thought it was going to be the student loan bubble. It's going to be the car loan bubble. The car loan bubble, they in order to sell all these cars to bail up, because they bailed out Chrysler and GM, you're going to see the auto loan bubble burst pretty soon. You heard it here first.
Actually, you're not far wrong. It was, 4 years ago, somewhere around there. My wife was whining. Well, she whines at me constantly on this subject. She wanted a car, and it wasn't to go across country, or anything like that. Yeah, just some beat up old clunker. Yeah, to go from home to the grocery store or the doctor's or whatever. And I said, oh, all right, that's easy. Lots of old clunkers around. And no, there weren't. The Cash for Clunkers program had put a complete stop to it. And it's such a shame. I have no idea how many vehicles were trashed that were in perfectly good working order, but here's a way to inspire our automakers. We'll get rid of all of the older vehicles. Gary, I doubt that you've ever had any involvement in clunkers, but did it bother you?
The fact that they took off the Cash for Clunkers?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, of course. I thought it was a fine program, and again, it's it's funny because it's true. I mean, this is I'm agreeing with Sam a lot, but which is fine because it's when you don't have any money and you don't get government largesse. And, and again, when I was saying before, why would anyone vote Republican? And I'm saying, Democrats are a close second, but I'm not as close as they used to be. The CEO of Walmart gets like $23,000 an hour. That's what he makes. $23,000 an hour. And how does this guy sleep at night? This Scivoza, this greedy, whoever, however he wants to understand himself, just this greedy person who looks up, who has to shave it every morning, even though he's saying, you know, we can't do this. Well, you know what? If you didn't get $22,000 or $24,000 an hour, and you took the haircut of getting down to, like, you know, let's say $13,000 an hour, or $12,000 or $14,000 an hour, and all the other top 50 people in the Walmart inner circle took that same percentage, everyone would be able to get health care. Everyone would get $15 an hour, and everything would be just fine, just from that thing. But no, so what happens, wherever Walmart is located, I know it's in the South, they're all going to vote Republican, and they're going to say, let's give these people the biggest tax breaks in the world, because God forbid, the government took 3% more, which was the Clinton era tax rates. So instead of, let's say, the guy doing $24,000 an hour, he'd make $17,000 or $18,000 an hour. It's so absurd that when these people say this, and then people, these bubbas who are driving their pickup trucks and making $35,000 a year, say, yeah, get the government out of our business. It's so crazy to me. Doesn't make any sense.
No, and not one lick of sense. I'm going to have to do something to rile you two guys up. You're being entirely too cooperative. So
what's wrong with that?
It's just not you guys. So, did either of you see the news article this week about the Supreme Court and its ditching of anything to do with gay marriage? I'm Gary. You brought up the issue, the potential issue, that if the Republicans gain control of the Senate, and if, and there's a high likelihood that one of the Supremes retires, it could change the legal landscape for many years. I'd just like your general thoughts on the Supremes dumping gay marriage and the possibility of changing the field in the next 2 years.
Well, listen, if it goes within the next 2 years, it's going to be a Democratic nominee. I mean, the Senate can't, you know, they're not going to stop the nominee, but it might, instead of being, you know, a little more left, it'll probably be a little more centrist, which is like whatever. So it's not like you have a Republican in there, like another George Bush, Samuel Alito, and you know, and these people that are just very, very, it turns out to be very activist and so forth. It's, you know, it's really interesting, Simon, that first of all, as far as the let's leave alone the makeup of the Supreme Court per se. Constitutionally, I don't think being against gay marriage has a leg to stand on. I think the Supreme Court understands that constitutionally, it's unconstitutional to not grant these people the right to marriage. So I'm not sure it's even a left-right issue at this point. What's interesting now is that the Republicans are trying to sit there and they're just being totally quiet about gay marriage now because they know that everything has changed. So the Republicans are now fine with gay marriage. Now the Republicans are fine with Obamacare. You know, isn't that fascinating when they were 50 votes to defund it, 50 votes to turn it over? And now that everyone loves Obamacare, everyone's fine. It's saving the government billions of dollars. It's not ruining our country. You don't have government death panels and all the crap, all the lies that the Republicans told. But no one remembers that. Nobody remembers that. All that people remember is that, so now the Republicans are totally silent. Now the Republicans will be silent on gay marriage. Just have no values whatsoever. And then when 2016 comes along, hear me now and believe me later. Oh, we're all for immigration reform. We want immigration reform. This is what we want. And people, unfortunately, have very short memories.
Okay. I'll tell you what. We have a caller on the line.
Awesome.
Yeah. It could be naughty or nice. Let's find out. Caller from area code 317. What's your name and what's your comment or question?
My name is Jimmy. My friends call me Jimmy Russells for short, but I had a question for you guys.
Sure.
What is your opinion on this Ebola stuff going around? It's getting pretty popular. Everyone's getting a little bit afraid. And I'm reading an article right here, and it said that a Ebola victim who recently died has just risen from like the dead, sort of. So I know you're probably thinking I'm crazy here, but you know, it's true, man. Look it up right now. You can Google it because I know it's not crazy, but
I'm sure AMC are working on a new series of Walking Ebola.
I know it's crazy, but you just like. It's going. It's spreading so fast, like fast, as fast as tonic, you know. It's coming commercial with it.
Yes. And what would your solution be? Obviously, you were listening to the program earlier. You know, should we stop all flights from Ebola countries? What would you recommend?
I mean, really, I would, personally, I would recommend to just, worship Ebola Chan. To worship Ebola Chan.
Okay, you kind of lost me there.
I think my phone kind of dropped for a minute. Let me repeat that. Worship Ebola Chan.
Okay. Sam or Gary, did either of you catch that comment?
No comment.
Like, have you ever heard of A. LaMau? I think.
Oh dear. We seem to have lost him.
I'm getting a lot of static, so I couldn't.
Yeah, I'm not sure. It was all serious.
Did he say they needed to wear an Ebola patch?
Yeah, something like that.
Okay, I just wanted to make sure, because he got really staticky at my end.
Right.
Well, first of all, did he, and then again at the beginning, did he say that the Ebola patient got up and walked?
Indeed. Yep, up from
the grave.
I
don't know if this guy was tongue-in-cheek. I hope he was. Well, in this case, I guess with The Walking Dead, would it be tongue and no cheek? It is, you know, they just, while he was talking, I went to Google stuff, and so it did say that the nurse had come into contact with 48 people that they've identified. And they have kind of quarantined the apartment complex he lives in. The police have surrounded it. And it's a big yellow can of biohazard waste that must be making every zombie screenwriter happier than a clam. You know,
right. I'll tell you what.
On the front line. And, you know, and that's it. But Yes. So
we have,
by the way, Simon, by the way, Gary, isn't it nice that we attract callers?
No comment.
Right. On that subject, we have another caller. Put your hard hats on. Hello, caller from the 407 area code. What's your name?
So I just had a question for you guys. My name is Trent. I just had a general question for you guys here. From 1 to 10, how fast would you say that you go?
Try me again on that.
I'm getting a bad connection. I'm getting like an echo chamber. He started out great, and then he just like I went into an echo. What did you hear? What he said, Gary or Simon? Or asked?
No, I have a sneaking hunch that we're getting targeted by someone that doesn't like us very much.
Oh, that's okay.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean we have to like them either. What was the question? On a scale from 1 to 10, what?
I have no clue. Did you catch it, Gary?
No comment.
Gary has
Gary's
no
running
comment.
For office. Gary is officially practicing. I'm running for office, and I'm going to continue with my... Gary, Dr. Penn, what do you think about this? No comment. Dr. Penn, can we have your opinion? No comment. Let's say he asked this question. On a scale from 1 to 10, how fast do you think the Ebola virus is going to spread? I think that's what he's trying to ask. And then at least that's what it sounded like to me.
I would say 1 here at least.
I tell you one thing, it's not going to spread as fast as ISIS is through Syria and Iraq. And is there a time we talked about the Middle East, Simon?
Sure. Nothing wrong with a good discussion about ISIS.
Slam those brakes on,
guys.
Slam those brakes on.
Guys, I've got a question. What are the chances of, let's say, China, let's say Russia, let's say another country, let's say the U.S., take someone with Ebola and have them go to New York, L.A., Moscow, Hong Kong, whatever, and just hang out and use that as a form of bioterrorism?
That's a great question.
Very good question.
Yeah. How about we get involved in some bio terrorism and send an Ebola infected person into Syria or Iraq?
Or Iran or something like that. I mean, I could easily see that happening from a lot of different things. I could see it happening from a terrorist country, from Pakistan or something, sending someone out to, you know, some jihadist or whatever. Or we can do it and say, I want you to go to New York and just sneeze over a lot of people and, see what happens that way. It's kind of a scary thought.
Oh, it is. Yeah, this is... bioterrorism taken to new heights. I can't remember the group now, but they were in Japan and let off some chemicals in the subway system. But could you imagine a nice ripe Ebola patient being on a crowded subway system?
Yes. I think I think what Gary, what you said is all too promising tactic that could be adopted by the terrorists. Sure, I mean, go in there, take some infected people, pay the family some money, pay them some money, and go and infect as many people as you can. Absolutely. It may not be Ebola. It could be something else. It could be if there was a great movie made in the 50s. It was called A Panic in the Streets, and it was with Richard Widmark and Jack Palance and Zelma Stellan, A Dramatic Wall. I just saw it. It was on a ton of classic movies a couple of weeks ago. And it had to do with this guy who had the bubonic plague, believe it or not. They don't know how he got it when he was been in solitary confinement, Jack Palance, for a long time for crimes he committed. And he got out, and he had gotten it, symptoms, but they still let him go. And Richard Widmark was this health officer who had to try to rally everybody. And everyone thought he was crazy, and he was the boy who cried wolf, and this and that. Then it turned out someone else got it, Zelma Stell got it, and then died. And that's when they had to... he was part of Jack Palance's gang that he was rounding up. Anyway, make a long story short, you know, it did happen in the movie, and the reason they didn't want to spread the word, they were worried about quote unquote panic in the street, so they quietly set this Richard Widmark special ops team out to get it, and by sheer luck they did. Of course, it's a Hollywood ending, but I mean, yeah, I could see that happening. Could slip into some terrorist with Ebola or some other disease, and you know, for years we've heard about the dirty bomb that Al Qaeda had been working on, right? They were going to set off a dirty bomb in the subways, or then there was the talk of the new Iraqi prime minister said that. They had captured guys who said that they were going to set up dirty bombs in Paris subways and New York City subways. So this could be, we've had suicide bombers with a vest on. Why not a suicide Ebola or germ carrier? Maybe it won't be Ebola. Maybe it'd be another germ that could infect people. I mean, imagine, as you said, Gary, imagine Ebola carrying terrorists in a city like New York City or Los Angeles. I mean, it would spread like wildfire.
Yeah, and you know, it would just destroy the entire economy, and we couldn't do anything. You know, and the thing is, look, I really do think that our country does right, but I wouldn't put it past this to be not just terrorists, but nations do this. Whether it's the U.S., whether it's China, I could imagine that happening.
Can I just butt in for 1 second? Can you two jabber between yourselves for a little while I talk to some people on the switchboard quietly?
Sure.
Okay. All right. I'll be right back.
Okay. We must be doing something right. The switchboard is lighting up. Phone calls. Maybe it's not that bad of a show that after all.
Well, I didn't think it was a bad show to be with, but I don't know.
I don't know. It doesn't.
Yeah, remember, we reach, sometimes maybe you only reach two people over the internet. Sometimes you could be reaching 50,000. Now, who knows? They might have the computer on in the background. I don't know. You know, I just don't know what the numbers are. Simon wouldn't be doing this if he wasn't reaching someone and somehow, and because his advertisers on his on the, if you ever listen to it, there's advertisers on the on his webpage of BNN. So he's got to be doing something right to get hits and listeners and whatnot. And so I applaud you, Peter, Bill, myself, Simon, and for doing so, because you know, we do take time out. I'm not getting paid. You might be getting a paycheck, but I'm not.
Let's not talk about what I'm getting paid. It's none of your beeswax.
For Blogger News. How's the weather out in California? You still hot?
No, as you know, look, let's just be thankful that there is no global warming. There's no climate change. because we don't want to have 97 scientists out of 100 say one thing and three others say another thing. And then we say, well, we don't know. We don't know what's going on.
I think it's obvious that there's been, weather change. And I think the common sense, and I think most people believe that. They can tell by their own weather.
No. Let's go with phase two. There is climate change, but the science is not out there that it's man-made. Which, once again, 97% of scientists will say one thing and 3% will say something else.
Right. So they're like economists.
Look, Sam, this is where you and I disagree, because as far as the difference between Democrats and Republicans, as far as the way money goes and the way things like this go, I understand the influence and the perniciousness on both sides. It does seem in a lot of ways that one party doesn't really believe in science that much, and they want to go one way, and another party believes more in science than the other. And I think if you want to say, well, I know a congressman in Pennsylvania who believes this particular thing, I'm talking about from a party-to-party level. I think that you will say that the Democrats, for example, overwhelmingly believe in humans being a factor in climate change. Republicans don't. I would say that the Democrats overwhelmingly believe in science, and that creationism should be taught in a religious context, not in a science context. And it's just a different way of understanding.
Oh, Gary, I'm not going to disagree with you. I agree with you 100%, but I'm going to go back to your point A. The reason the Republicans do that is because there's money to be made by taking the opposite side. I don't think, if they really believe that stuff, and I mean in their hearts of hearts, shame on them. I think they just do it for the money. I mean, I hate to be a real cynic. That's what you have to understand about me. Okay, I'm not defending the Republicans, saying, you shouldn't be teaching Darwin. Darwin didn't exist, and there's no climate change. I mean, no way. I believe in all that stuff. There was no such thing as the Bible has to be back into the school. My favorite line is, and I wrote it, one of my characters in my book is, anybody who doesn't think prayer goes on in public schools was never a real human being. I prayed in school all the time. I hope the school goes out with me. God, let the school. God, I hope I pass this test. Everybody prays accordingly. God's not out of the school. God's only out of the school if the person, doesn't want it. Everybody, I'm a little bit different, okay? And, God is, to say God's not in the school, we took God off our school. These are the same people who are such hypocrites. We're going to take God out of the school, but boy, we're going to keep it on our money. Of course they are, because money is more important to them. And I think there's a lot of money to be made in taking the opposite side of the view, just for taking the devil's advocate. That horrible thing, the devil's advocate, pays a lot of money. Both sides, that's all they care about, money, 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 and greed, and jobs, and for the very select few. The ruling class is doing great. The average American isn't. That's why I think that when you talk about, why can't the Democrat, why can't they rally? They should be able to. Common sense would say the Democrats, under a president who's delivered X, Y, and Z on a lot of bill of goods, should be kicking ass. Common sense would tell you that. But it's
guys, I'm back. We do seem to be here under an attack by some people that clearly don't like us, but that's their business. I just got a message from a Mr. Dovahkiin. Fight me, Barrett. I am a god. Now, If that doesn't make you feel good on a Sunday afternoon, I don't know what does.
Well, we must be doing something right if we're pissing off somebody.
Oh, we're pissing off a whole bunch of people, apparently.
Good. Good. Let them get the long shows.
Yep.
Everybody's a critic.
But how good a critic can you be?
Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, as they say. Gary, Simon, while you were off, Gary and I were kind of talking about a little difference in we both, where we differentiate on Republicans versus Democrats. And he's, said, Republicans are rightfully so. They take the side there is no global warming. We should put God back in school. There should be, we should not teach Darwin's Origin of Man, all that sort of stuff. And I agree with him on that. But my belief is I really don't believe those people think that. I think they just do it for so much money and taking the opposite side of playing the devil's advocate against the Democrats.
Here's what I'm saying, and maybe you could give me some examples that would be on equal basis. Okay, in the last 15 years, all right, the ideas of the Republicans that have been put forward, what I would think would be abject lies, were the whole reasoning for the Iraq War. The ideas of climate change, the ideas of Obamacare, the ideas of the effect of immigration policy on our country. It seems to me, I'm not saying that Democrats don't do this, but these are foundational issues for our country, right?
Okay.
The idea and for the world now, but I'm talking about equal basis, okay? Equal basis that Obamacare, for example, would absolutely ruin our country, bankrupt our country, have death panels. None of these things happened at all. The Iraq War was a complete fabrication and a complete lie. Climate change is completely rejected by the right. Where on the Democrat side, on the left? Now, I know there are some that even comes close to equaling the gravity of these lies.
Right. Equal. Number one, almost every Democrat voted to invade Iraq, including Hillary Clinton.
No, I understand. Not every Democrat did. And there were way
too
many.
The only one who didn't was Bernie Sanders.
No, there were a lot more that didn't. But on the other hand.
Okay, tell me the names.
Okay, give me as a party position. Who
the Democrats supported going to war with Iraq?
Wait,
everyone did. We all fell for it
from the left.
We all fell for that. We all did. The whole world fell.
Okay,
the whole,
all right. Okay, fine. I will say the right did it more than the left. Fine. I don't think it was equal.
Well,
but I'm saying,
where
are the lies of the left? Tell me the lies of the left. The lies of the right are, if you increase taxes on the wealthy, it's going to destroy our country. Wrong.
No, not destroy our country. The lies on the right is it will trickle down, a rising tide will raise all boats. That doesn't happen.
Okay, tell me the lies of the left that equal the lies on the right.
Big government can solve everything. We can take care of you.
I don't know.
You can't trust the corporations. You can trust us. We can take care of you. The war, okay, the war on poverty, yeah, it's made us all even poorer, has not worked. Great, okay, I'm sorry. The war on poverty has created a vicious cycle. It was dug in by the left. It's been impounded on. It's been terrible. As a school teacher, I will tell you the Democrats muddle more with the educational system than the Republicans do. It's terrible. It's not working. And I see it every day, Gary. Every effing day I see it.
I actually agree with you. I actually agree with you on education, and I actually agree with you on poverty.
Okay, those two things I do. Those are the two big. But you know what? That's where they control their base. And I agree with you about the Iraqi war. That was all a moneymaker for the corporations, let's face it, we're bombing, I think, Simon, you brought up, how much money does it cost for one of those planes, the F-15s?
Oh, I think it's about 60,000 an hour.
Okay, and the drop a bomb that's made by a corporation that Dick Cheney has a piece of. I agree with you about that, Gary. I totally agree about the military-industrial complex. But what I think they do, you know, as far as climate change goes, I think that the Democrats have their hands around that issue better. I really do. I think the United Nations and other countries and the Europeans have their hands around that much better. But, however, the flip side is both sides, because we borrow so much money from China, don't force China to get in bed with the rest of us or India, because both sides – that's the problem. China and India – maybe not now because the economies aren't doing that great – were the biggest violators of the pollution world, and we have to borrow money from them, and we have to outsource jobs to them. That, you know, that's another thing that the left did about the left. And when the left and right agree on something, it's terrible. And I'm going to give you NAFTA and GATT as my number one example. Ross Perot, as crazy as he was, is he still alive? Was right. NAFTA and GATT, brought to you by Bill Clinton and Newt Gingrich, was a giant sucking sound that sucked a lot of our jobs to Mexico and overseas, and that was a bad thing. So I mean, both sides are wrong, but they want us to argue over these issues, you know, these red meat issues, and we keep us away from the other thing. Whereas what we need to do, and we both agree on this, because we both love our country, we both know that we want the best that can be. You, as a psychiatrist, and I'm sure you've seen a lot of children, have seen horrible things, and they, you know, that you have to deal with, and these poor kids have to deal with. I, as a teacher, last week I watched a fourth grade girl have a meltdown that was right out of a Hollywood movie, and they had a fourth grade girl, and two deputy sheriffs had to come in and remove her. From the classroom, and all I can think about is what happened at this girl's home life that caused her to come to school and just freak out. What triggered it? It wasn't the school. It wasn't the fact that we had cucumbers and ranch dressing for snack time. It wasn't the fact that we had she had to run in gym. This is a fourth grader. It probably was abused. And something happened, and maybe the teacher touched her on the shoulder or whatever, and then she literally went ballistic. And, they had to call two deputy sheriffs and for a fourth grade girl and take her down to juvenile. You know, it's just, it's sad. And it's just, I just think, too, I see us, really just, we're just like running in place as a country right now. And it's, as Mo Howard, I'm a big Three Stooges fan, would say, we're getting nowhere fast, and we really are. And I think there are the best and the brightest in this country. Look at the people that invent things and great corporate. There are great people out there, and I think there's more good than bad. But bad certainly seems to be winning. The bad boys seem to be winning. How can people, Gary? I agree with you. How can a guy make $23,000 an hour and look at himself in the mirror, adjust his tie, go off to work knowing most of his employees are on welfare? And so I don't understand that. That's all we have, a narcissistic in the ruling class. I guess that's it. I guess that's what it is.
Yeah, it's absolutely unconscionable on my part.
I mean, have you seen like some of these homes that some of these people live in? It's incredible. I'm all for wealth. I'm a capitalist, but I think, as Churchill says in democracy, it's not the perfect system, but it's the best system we've ever come up with. But there has to be checks and balances on it all, and we've gotten away from checks.
Listen, the whole idea that has all of the right in an uproar is taking the top rate for the top 1% from 36% to 39%. So this is, the incredible burden on the people on making just a whole bunch of money and have a whole bunch of tax benefits because they have homes and they have second homes and they have all these tax deductions. It is talking about 3%, which basically, for those of you who are old enough, we're talking about the 1990s. where when Clinton raised taxes, if you guys remember, and I do, everyone on the right, and we're talking about the lies of the right, everyone on the right said it was going to destroy the economy, absolutely destroy the economy. And it didn't. Now, yes, we could go ahead and talk about the tech bubble and all this stuff, but it did not destroy the economy. And so what would happen if we went up to 39%, which apparently we just can't do, and all we're doing is just spending money from China instead of taxing these maybe few thousand people that are making a whole bunch of money.
Okay, you know what would be better? I'll cut their individual tax rates if they'll let us cut raise their corporate rates up and collect the money.
And find a way to
collect
prevent
the offshore
money
stuff
from going overseas from
corporate. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you do that. Part. If we did that, yeah, they can have a lower income tax rate. They can have a lower capital gain. Tax those things and tax it correctly. Like they get away with it. They've got so many loopholes and it's scary. And it's just absolutely scary, and you have no politician can stand up to take him on, because then they crush, kill, and destroy him. They'll find something out that he had, you know, he had premarital sex when he was 13 years old or something, and that will kill him, and that'll be the issue of the day. Or he didn't have his he got straight C's. He got straight C's when he was in 11th grade because he smoked a little dope, and or she did or whatnot, and that'll be the huge issue. Or and that's the problem. And you know, we look at we're no different today. And I'm a big history buff, okay? So we've got in the 19th century, we had after the Civil War, you had the robber barons, and the railroads steal all the Indians. The gold was discovered. They had to get all the steal all the land from the Indians, bring the railroads in. They had the migrant workers, the Chinese back then, and the Irish, and treated them terribly. For slave wages, and you just go back to what we and the only people who ever stood up to it at that point was Teddy Roosevelt, and he's the one who with the Sherman Antitrust Act to stop the trust, and then it took. And what happened? The J.P. Morgan and all those guys got around and they weakened Roosevelt, and they put they got McKinley to get the nomination. And then Roosevelt ran as a third-party guy, and that's what happened. So even when they but the Sherman antitrust laws stood around for a long, long, long time until Ronald Reagan, George Bush Sr., and Bill Clinton deballed them. And that's when everything has gone to pot since then. Yeah, they got rid of Teddy Roosevelt, the great antitrust, that. He wouldn't even recognize the Republican Party today. He was freaking out about how bad the corporate giants are running the world. But Sherman's antitrust law was in for years until Reagan, Bush 1, Clinton, and Bush 2 deregulated, did everything they possibly could to make it easier for big business to engulf and destroy all of us. And that's what's going on. And the pendulum has to swing back. It was swung back. And unfortunately, I think it's going to swing back by its own market, its own greed. It's going to kill it and swing back, and a lot of people are going to get hurt. And that's a bad thing, because the only people who deserve to get hurt are the ones who are manipulating the wealth and whatnot at the expense of the many.
Well, what amuses me is that AT&T fell foul of antitrust laws. The government made them break up, but guess what? They're back.
They're back.
They're bigger and meaner than they ever were.
Yeah. Yeah. They never should have been under Sherman, because they deregulated them, and Sherman, the Sherman antitrust laws was deballed, and that was it. And that's what they had. Remember, everybody remember savings and loans, the Bailey brothers' savings and loans. And they got and Reagan, Bush, and Clinton all got they allowed them to do stuff they shouldn't have been doing, which was what? Charles Keating, remember him? Let's give money. I want my brick and mortar savings and loan. I want to make money too. I'm not happy making $300,000 a year and being a pillar in my community and investing in homes and small businesses in my community. I want to play with the big boys. I want to start getting behind developers who are building 5,000 units in New York City and this and that. And that's what happened. So they deregulated them, and they stopped having the, you know, the balance of the books. And don't worry, the Fed will stop in and save you. And all that sort of stuff happened. And then the politicians and, you know, it all started back then. It was all under Reagan, and Bush continued it, Clinton continued it, and so did little Bush. Obama did stop it to a point, to a point. I really thought, like I said, he really had it. And, you know, look what happened. So, you know, stock markets are huge. They're going up. That's all. That's what they're a part of. You know, why should Barack Obama be any different than any other politician and say, hey, you know what? I'm out of here in 2 years. I'm only 54 years of age. I got two young girls. I want them to be. I don't want to, you know, you're not going to hear Barack Obama say, I was broke when I left the White House.
No.
You know, you're not going to hear him say that. He's going to demand. He'll probably be making $1 million a pop with speaking engagements. I mean, I'm amazed people pay that type of money to hear Bill Clinton speak. You would think, could you imagine Harry Truman doing that? Harry Truman would have went around for free and gave a speech. I mean, but, you know, that's what these guys have done. They've turned their presidencies into celebrityism or write a book. Who wants to read it? Do I really want to read a book about Bill Clinton after I just lived with you for 8 years? What more am I going to learn about you?
Right.
I get $1 million in advance. He gets $1 million a speech. He has all these funds, and, you know, good for him, you know. Presidential library that nobody visits, that cost the taxpayers millions of dollars, you know. Bush has one, Reagan has one. What a joke those are. The only one that's any good is the Kennedy Library, and you don't need another one because that's the only one where they try to do stuff.
Okay, gentlemen, I am looking at the clock. I do need to wrap this up for the afternoon. I have a cyber war going on.
You're going to be busy tonight fighting off the bad guys, Simon. Anything I can do, give me a holler.
I will indeed. Gary, your parting thoughts for us this afternoon?
Oh, well, you know, it's things are complicated and you know, we all hope that things get better, that people are safe and healthy, and we hope that we can figure this out. It seems like the world is a kind of a dangerous place these days, and it's a little worrisome. It's a little worrisome. We don't want to panic, but I don't know. You know, it's kind of like you want to get some duct tape and water. So health and peace to everybody.
Simon, I just want to ask one. You know, we did not talk about ISIS. And there's another issue, Gary. I need you to help me with this. Maybe you can answer it next week. Is what's going on with Bruce Jenner? has anybody, are you out there in cyberland, go take a Google look at what Bruce Jenner looks like now. Is he trying to have a sex change operation? Is that what he's doing?
Maybe, but let's just hope it's not contagious.
And that's it. And we didn't even get to talk about Kobani being a decoy for Baghdad, Simon. So don't until Sunday.
Right. And another subject is a recent analysis shows that police are 21 times more likely to shoot an unarmed black youth than a white one.
That's right, there was more shootings, yeah. But, gee, what a surprise.
Yeah. Okay, until next week, this is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again next Sunday. Goodbye.